and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. U.S. retail sales fell 0.9% in January. Retail analyst Bert Flickinger points a finger of blame.
This is really concerning and a really negative reflection on the Fed and Jerome Powell for not lowering interest rates sooner.
In Southern California, hillsides and neighborhoods left barren by the wildfires are now awash in floods and mud after massive rainfall. Homeowner Clayton Colbert.
We have fires all the time. We have mudslides, but nothing as apocalyptic as this.
So far, three federal prosecutors have resigned rather than follow Trump Justice Department orders to drop corruption charges against New York Mayor Eric Adams, apparently because Adams will cooperate with Trump's immigration plans. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A metastasizing scandal that is touching more officials inside the Department of Justice and setting off more alarm bells and triggering more resignations. It may not stop where it ended on Thursday.
CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a winter weather advisory that starts at 4 p.m. today and continues through 6 a.m. on Saturday. 3 to 7 inches of snow are expected, and snow may become heavy at times. This winter weather advisory covers Marathon, Portage, Wood, and other surrounding counties. You can plan on snow-covered and slippery road conditions. The heavy snow will cause reduced visibility at times. Visibility may fall to 1/2 mile or less. These hazardous conditions could impact your drive home Friday night. An alarming number of heart attacks are linked to shoveling snow, and the risks increase with age. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains heart attack snow.
With the combination of cold temperatures and sudden physical exertion, a problem is created. The cold temperatures constrict blood vessels, making it harder for the blood to flow efficiently. So when you pair this with the physical strain of lifting heavy snow, this increases blood pressure and heart rate, forcing the heart to work much harder. And for someone with underlying heart disease or risk factors like high blood pressure, diabetes, or obesity, this sudden exertion can trigger a heart attack. So people should pace themselves and take regular breaks, probably every 10 to 15 minutes. And using a smaller shovel will help to limit the weight of each load. And if you can, push the snow rather than lifting and tossing it. That'll help reduce strain on the heart.
Several Clark County snowmobile trails opened at 8 a.m. on Friday. You can expect poor early season riding conditions. You should use extreme caution when riding, as there are areas with icy patches, thin base, and very rough agricultural fields. You must yield to all trail groomers. Remember that riding on closed trails is trespassing. ATV-UTV use is not permitted at this time. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Marquette looking for back-to-back wins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Marquette on the road at Villanova a week from tonight. Marquette fell to 18th after losing three in a row. Head coach Shaka Smart on hoping his guys can get another win next Friday night.
We've been through a tough stretch the last few games. You know, we have a lot of pride in this program, so we don't take kindly to losing, and we have a sense of urgency to grow and improve.
In the Big Ten, Wisconsin battles the Purdue Boilermakers tomorrow at noon in West Lafayette. NBA All-Star Weekend in San Francisco. Damian Lillard is there competing in the three-point tournament tomorrow night and the All-Star Game Sunday evening. Baseball, Freddie Peralta named the Brewers starting pitcher for opening day in New York against the Yankees.
Keep doing what we've been doing. Everything start here now. Spring training, pitchers and catcher, everything start here, like, you know, making everybody feel comfortable and just wait for the position players and pull all that together and get ready for the season.
That's the Brewers ace, Freddie Peralta, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have more snow on the way late today, tonight, through much of Saturday. We could get 4 to 7 inches by the time everything winds down late Saturday into Saturday night. Today, snow in the afternoon up to 23, snow tonight 18, 29 tomorrow, with much colder temperatures for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 6.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
stars, the tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Embrace the bold tartness of cranberries and experience their incredible health benefits. Honestly Cranberry offers unsweetened, shelf-stable dried cranberries that are perfect any time of the year. With just 15 pieces, you'll receive the unique health benefits that are only found in cranberries without additional sugars, juices, or oils. The culinary possibilities are endless with your favorite baked goods, salads, oatmeal, or tea. Find amazing cranberries at your local favorites, Family Natural Foods, Richard's Liquors, and Ruby Red's. Heart the tart.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition. Our old friend Reed Galen, founder of The Union, will be here to talk about voter registration, how to be a voter, and we'll do a little what's worse.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Friday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.10. That's actually down 3 cents from yesterday. However, the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $5.86. That's up a penny from yesterday and up considerably from last week.
Very much so. We had a 32-cent rise this week.
So that's where we are with the prices. We're not going to belabor that. Mm-hmm. But another little reminder before we get into the show, and we have lots of stuff coming up for you today. Brad Schlaikowski from Courage MKE is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about the LGBTQ plus community, which is the community that they serve, and their concerns now that we are under a second Trump administration.
Yep.
Also, next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, Linda McMahon, having her confirmation hearings yesterday, she has some experience with schools.
She has more experience with wrestling.
Much more experience with wrestling. But yes, let's put her in charge of the Department of Education. We will be talking about that after 11 o'clock. And then something Vivek Ramaswamy said.
Who?
I know. Can we call him former Doge?
He's Doge adjacent.
He's Doge adjacent. Yeah, he's not part of Doge anymore. I never understood why a government agency dedicated to efficiency had two heads. But they don't anymore.
No.
But Vivek chiming in about what our kids need in schools.
Oh, he's got more opinions on the kids.
Yep.
They're always the opinions are always of the times too. They're very, very modern opinions. Kids can really identify with them.
As we always do at 11:30, we lighten things up a little bit. We're going to talk about whether or not you dream about work. I certainly do.
I have.
Galvin, we'll get to you after 11:30. We would love to know if you dream about work and what those dreams are.
Yeah.
That will be at 11:30. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Patooey edition.
What's that again?
Patooey.
Patooey
edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a guest you think we should highlight on the show, some issue that's going on in your local community, I don't care how big or small, all across Wisconsin. And of course, complaints, please send them in. I read them all at Jane Says, JaneSays, at civicmedia.us. Well, after all the snow we had, we're not done yet. I was listening to you and Todd Alba this morning, filling in for Pat Kreitlow on Civic Media Mornings. Yeah, we got more snow coming. Brittany Merlot was on with you guys this morning. So it's supposed to start later on this afternoon. We do have a winter weather advisory kicking in southeastern Wisconsin from 6 p.m. tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow. And it's expected to be pretty heavy at some times. So visibility might be an issue, 2 to 4 inches possible. Then we're going to have some more tomorrow. But tonight, I think, especially after work, as you head out of the office, maybe you can get out a little bit early, build in some extra time. Just please be patient and check 511wi.gov.
Yes.
Before you walk out the door. It's really a great resource that will show you every highway, every roadway in Wisconsin, what the conditions are, and where all the accidents are. So please take advantage of it. It's free. It's 511wi.gov, and you can also download that as an app. One of those starts with an article in Wisconsin Public Radio. Joe Schultz has the byline, steel and aluminum tariffs to drive up costs for Wisconsin manufacturers. Home builders less impacted by metal tariffs are now bracing for possible tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Donald Trump, of course, says tariffs, the most beautiful word in the English language.
Yes, it
is. And the answer to all of our problems, apparently. Not everyone is welcoming these tariffs and expecting them to fix all our problems. In fact, there are many, even manufacturers here in Wisconsin, that are heavily dependent on items we get from other countries. Call the supply chain.
Yeah. We had one of them on, we've had him on twice now, James Vanderloo, talking about the importance of, and we'll be having him on in the coming weeks, about how these tariffs affect Milwaukee companies. And one of the things he said that I will never forget was that the moment that Trump won, he was going to have to talk to companies about moving their companies to other countries, because they might be manufacturing in China. They might be but now he's putting tariffs on Canada, Mexico, China.
He's threatening Europe also.
He's threatening Europe. I mean, if it's unending, I mean, where is, except for bringing it back here, which is so expensive.
Well, and it would be a great thing, but that's not a weak fix.
Yeah.
We're talking about years in order to build back our manufacturing to the point where we don't need imports from anybody else.
Yeah.
That's a great goal to shoot for.
Which I still think
it's not going to happen next month.
I don't think it's possible to get no imports.
Well, like, there are some things that we just don't have.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to materials.
Yeah.
And mine materials and materials for cell phones and things like that. We just don't have them in this country.
Don't worry, Jane. Tariffs. Just say tariffs.
It's all going to fix it.
All fixed.
Earlier this week, Donald Trump imposed 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports. According to Buckley Brinkman, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity, he said generally manufacturers work on a pretty thin margin. If the metal component is 40% of their cost of goods sold, they don't have the margin capability to absorb the new tariff. That will be passed along to consumers.
Wait a minute. That's not how tariffs work, Jane. Jane, tariffs work. The country charges, and the guy who's buying the stuff charges, and he pays it, and then I buy it at my regular price. That's what I was told. It's going to be fine.
That's not how it works.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that someone lied to me?
That I would say yes. I would say
oh,
yes.
Oh, boy, howdy.
Spokesperson for the Wisconsin Builders Association, Alicia Nalid, said in the construction industry, the steel and aluminum tariffs will primarily hit companies working on commercial or multifamily housing. This isn't necessarily a slap to the single-family industry. They don't expect that those tariffs will continue to have a big impact on single-family home building. But, as she said, this is going to affect companies who work on commercial and multifamily housing developments. And we've talked about this repeatedly, about the that's part of the crisis in the in this country is the lack of affordable housing.
Yes. And while it won't directly affect single family homes, the price of building materials like lumber have gone up exponentially since the pandemic. So it's price hikes are going to affect everybody, but this one specifically is going to hit a specific market
sector,
but it's still going to cost a lot of money, which means the materials cost a lot of money. Construction costs a lot of money. That means these homes might not be available to regular Joe and John Q public.
Well, and think about it as well, that if the price of the materials go up, this means the companies won't be able to afford as many workers,
yep,
which in turn will slow down the work. Seems bad.
Seems like the not right thing to do.
Seems bad. She also said Donald Trump's announcement creates even more uncertainty for companies who are navigating international trade. Tariffs are a tax that drive up costs for consumers. And we've talked to this with other business people in the past. You know what business loves is uncertainty.
Yeah.
They just love not knowing what's coming and how their bottom line is going to be in the next 3 months. Nobody loves that more than business.
And the bigger the business, the more chaos they love.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
It's just so good for business.
Shareholders love not knowing things.
25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada expected to kick in next month. Canada and Mexico, by the way, Wisconsin's biggest trade partners. Canada bought $8.5 billion worth of Wisconsin exports in 2023, and Mexico bought $4.3 billion in state imports. This could have a big hit, again, on single-family home builders, a bigger impact than even the steel and aluminum tariffs.
And that's just one specific tariff.
Just one area.
Just one area. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing it down to where you live, folks. This is a nationwide thing, but this comes down to Wisconsin. How does it affect your pocketbook? How does it affect what you're buying? How does it affect, you know, if you work in this industry in Wisconsin? Someone explain to me why tariffs are beautiful, why they're the grand fix. Explain to me. I guess explain to me like I'm a 10-year-old because I don't get it how and why you're so excited about this.
Our brains just aren't big enough.
They're not. No, they're rotting away with liberal talking points.
CEO of Molson Coors, Gavin Hattersley, answered questions about tariffs during an earnings call earlier this week on metal tariffs. He says Molson has made changes to how it sources aluminum. And it now sources all aluminum used in products made for U.S. consumption from the U.S., which is great.
Yep.
Again, not every company has the ability to do that. And not all of these items can be made here or mined here.
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Tressler, who is one of the co-founders and co-owners of Hinterland Brewing in Green Bay, she was on Civic Media Morning with Dr. Lyerly on Wednesday, and they talked specifically about this point. She said that the aluminum tariffs affects every single can of beer they brew. Every time they fill a can up, they pay a tax, they pay a tariff on those cans, and they have to then eventually pass those costs onto the customers.
Yes.
So it's your Molson Coors, that's great. You can afford to do that, but not every brewery in America can do that. And people love their craft beer.
And we're already seeing a lot of craft breweries going out of business.
Oh my goodness gracious, yes.
This isn't going to help them stay alive.
No. No, but it's beautiful, Jane. Just deal with it. Accept it. It's going to fix everything.
We're waiting.
I'm waiting.
Hey, and once it does fix it, everything, we'll be the first ones to be crowing about it. I would love, yes. I would love yes. to come on air with great news.
Yes.
I really, really would. So if you have great news, and please just don't say that, hey, we cut $85 billion from the government. I want to see some documentation to back that up, as just opposed to Elon said it. Yeah, that's not quite good enough.
Show your work.
We have more on the way, including, oh, go away. Could you please just go away? You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Just don't know what else to do about it.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach.
There it is.
Is that how you... Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a famous last name, but you know, whatever.
And Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, Brad Schlaikowski from Courage MKE will be joining us to talk about what's going on and what he's hearing from the LGBTQ plus community. A lot of concern, I am sure. We'll be talking to Brad about that. After 11 o'clock, Department of Education, Linda McMahon, very experienced in wrestling. Slightly less experienced in education.
Stone-cold stunner, the problem with education. You get in there and be like, I'm going to tombstone you. Mm-hmm. Bah, 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 bah.
Ah! I'm not even sure what to do with that, but I like it. I like it. I stumbled on this, and I think this is important for us to keep in mind, because when is the gubernatorial election?
Who cares? Who cares? Next month. Next year.
Not the gubernatorial. Yeah, the gubernatorial election is next year.
Next year.
Evers still waffling on whether or not he is going to run for yet another term.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lake Sitting, axe-throwing California banker guy Eric Hovde.
You forgot loser.
Oh, that too. Again, cites debunked claims in questioning his 2024 election loss to Tammy Baldwin. This from Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In a video posted on Twitter this week, Eric Hovde raising doubts about the processing of absentee ballots in Milwaukee and criticizing same-day voter registration. Hovde claimed, without providing specifics, that's an important sentence.
Show your work.
Hovde claimed, without providing specifics, that a lot has come out since the election. Has it?
It has?
Where?
When?
A lot of people are very upset about what happened that night as it pertains to my race and feel that I may have been robbed. California guy lost his Senate bid against Tammy Baldwin by more than 29,000 votes, a little less than one percentage point. Yeah. Let's not forget he refused to concede until almost 2 weeks later. Never called Tammy Baldwin
in
to concede.
In a video.
Yeah, he did it in a video.
Where he was also whining, whining, sniffling, crying little loser boy who just couldn't deal with the fact that
He lost. And we didn't just feel like you get to have it because you're a wealthy white guy.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and also for the fact, I do care that there's an election. I'm just tired.
We're all tired.
But yeah, he lost. That's it. The GOP has moved out. I don't hear hide nor hair of Brian Schimming, Robin Voss, any of the Reince Priebus, none of the higher ups in the Wisconsin GOP are
screeching about this,
screeching, waving their finger. It's just Eric Hovde in California in the sunlight.
But see, that's not what's important.
What's important?
What's important is that Eric Hovde comes out now with this. So for the next however many months, up until the gubernatorial election, he can start planting this seed. That's what this is about.
So I guess because one thing we did learn from the Hovde campaign, I just like to say Hovde campaign, is he is great at campaigning. I mean, he is so personable and human-like, and his ad campaigns are so full of joy and excitement. If he comes to Wisconsin, to the people of Wisconsin, with this on his plate of saying, like, well, I didn't win the Senate race because it was taken from me.
I was cheated.
So now I want to be your governor. Do you think the people of Wisconsin even want, like, I don't think that the Republican Party is going to allow him to be uncontested if he runs. I think that there will be a primary for governor. I don't think the GOP are going to want him.
Why?
Because he's
going to do exactly what they want, but which is what they want.
They can find other people to do it with less baggage and less whining. He's a bad campaign. They need someone of Wisconsin to shake hands with the people and really be there. He's not good at it. There are other people they can find who will do exactly what they want.
But what sets Eric Hovde apart is that he can help finance his own campaign, which is why they tagged him in the first place.
But he financed up to a point.
But still, that's better than some average folk in Wisconsin who don't have millions in the bank to throw into their own campaigns. That's why they tagged him for this in the first place, because he has money.
I don't think they're going to tag a regular person. I think they'll find someone similar to Hovde who's just better at this than he is, because it was his race to lose, and he lost it.
At the time, Hovde said he was shocked by the reporting of Milwaukee's absentee ballot results in the early mornings after Election Day. Little side thing here, Eric. Mm. Under Wisconsin law, and I'll say this slowly, absentee ballots can't be processed before 7 a.m. on Election Day. Republican-controlled state Senate in Wisconsin last year refused to take up legislation making it possible for clerks to start processing those ballots the day before the election and then finish counting all of the votes earlier on Election Day. So you can thank Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu, mm-hmm, and Tom Tiffany and all those guys in the Wisconsin legislature, the Republicans, who refused to do something about this so they can come back to it and say, see, something hinky was going on.
Milwaukee.
See.
Milwaukee is just a hotbed of voter fraud. Well, for one thing, it isn't. It isn't. Even, you know who said that? Ron Johnson said that last year when he went down to the central station and saw the counting and saw there wasn't a problem. He said there wasn't a problem. But you don't want to solve the problem. This goes beyond Eric Hovde. This is the problem of the GOP in Wisconsin. They don't want to solve the problem. If they solve the problem, then it's a problem they can't whine about like sniffling little babies. Eric Hovde, on the other hand, I mean, I think that this is this. I don't disagree that this will be his tactic. He's going to say, I didn't get my way, so now I want this. I just don't know if Wisconsin will buy it from him and of the Republicans.
We still have people who believe the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. Of course this is going to work. He's taking it directly out of Trump's playbook, saying, I was robbed. I was cheated. We're going to hear this for months and months and months. Mark my words, leading up to the next gubernatorial election. We are just about out of time. Sorry.
There's precedence. Carrie Lake. All right.
News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Vast Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Craft store Joanne Fabrics is closing 500 stores across the country, including 16 here in Wisconsin. The Stevens Point location, as well as the Marshfield store, will be closing in a couple of months. The company had sought Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last year, but now will be making the move to close underperforming stores. Only 300 locations will remain open nationwide. Liquidation can take anywhere from 2 to 3 months, but they will still take credit card payments until closer to the store actually closing. We may not like the cold very much, but our cranberries sure do. Brittany Merlot has more information on how the cold is good for our cranberry farmers and necessary to keep cranberry beds healthy.
Wisconsin is the number one cranberry producer, growing over 400,000 tons of crop every year. And once the harvest is over, they start flooding the cranberry beds with water and freezing them. And when the beds freeze, it gives the crop a protective layer of ice, which is crucial for it to survive. And when it's finally all ice, it's time to sand the beds. This protects the vines, stimulates root growth and renewal. And if the cranberry vines don't get enough water, they may die and cause issues for the farmers. This can also impact you, especially if you love to eat or use cranberries. So sometimes we have to weather the cold for a good reason. Cranberry season starts mid-September.
Two Lincoln High School students will have their artwork on display at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Ella Panter and Angel Holmes received the Scholastic Art Silver Key Award. Their work, titled Green and Glowing Burst of Curiosity, will be displayed at the Milwaukee Art Museum through early March. You can see pictures of these award-winning artwork pieces on the Wisconsin Rapids Public School Facebook page.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Forever Bros, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A winter weather advisory starts at 4 o'clock and continues into the night. With around 1 to 2 inches of snow expected on the ground by this evening, we'll be waking up to around 4 inches or so. Then, another 1 to 3 inches is possible Saturday, before the cold crashes in on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 9 degrees.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey.
good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about Linda McMahon. Lots of experience in pro wrestling, less experience in education. She wants to be the head of the Department of Education. Some interesting things came out during yesterday's hearing. And also, Vivek Ramaswamy has an idea for our kids in school that is somewhat reminiscent of an earlier program from someone on the other side of the political aisle that was not necessarily received with a lot of warmth, shall we say.
Yeah.
That's after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, we are welcoming on the phone, Brad Schlykowski is one of the co-founders of Courage MKE, Courage Milwaukee. Good morning, Brad. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For folks who don't know, Brad, give us a little background of Courage Milwaukee and why you started and what your mission is.
Sure. My husband and I started Courage MKE almost 10 years ago because we were foster parents, and the kids we were fostering were teenagers, and they all came with similar stories of torment and rejection from group homes, foster homes, and other parts of being within the system. So in 2019, we opened Wisconsin's first group home for displaced LGBT youth that are in the social welfare system. And then last year, we opened a second house for those same kids that are aging out or are already experiencing homelessness.
It's a bigger problem than most people realize.
It's a huge problem. They say of the amount of kids on the streets, 40% identify as homeless or as LGBT. I'm sorry.
And this is because either their families have rejected them, I assume.
A lot of them are on the, 50% of the kids that come through our facilities are because their families rejected them, or they would have just been in the system because of neglect.
Which is so heartbreaking.
It's gut-wrenching.
It is. And I'm sure there may be some kids who've had good experiences moving through the foster system, but I don't think anyone considers that an ideal situation. And unfortunately, like you said, Brad, there comes a point with these kids, they age out of the system and you have to leave. And they're not necessarily equipped to deal with adulthood.
Not equipped at all. The average length of stay in a group home, and that's kids ages 12 to 17, is 38 days, right? Wow. So every 38 days, they're being moved for some reason. Now imagine being a child that's been in the system since you're an infant, and you've been through foster homes, and then you get to the point where you're not a baby, so the foster homes always want babies. So you're going into group homes, and every 38 days, you're being moved because someone didn't like something that you did or said. It's so sad.
Well, and it's got to be, I can't imagine how difficult it is to not only establish a caring trust. I mean, just to set up a caring, trusting relationship, you don't even have enough time to establish those emotional bonds almost.
You don't have any time. That's why we're so proud that our average length of stay is around 230 days right now.
That's amazing.
So tell us, when your kids leave, and they're not kids anymore, they're young adults, but what kinds of stories have you heard from them once they've moved on from you?
We have a handful of them that keep coming back. My staff look at that as the biggest compliment of love, because it's still a safe place for them, right? They don't have very many of those. A lot of them don't go back to their parents to visit. A lot of their stories are, I'm sorry I was a jerk while I lived here, right? Because they grew up some and they had that self-realization. But a lot of their stories are, it's hard, right? Because you're in a system, I'm privileged. I had the privilege of having parents that taught me about finances, budgeting. You have to be responsible. You have to get a job. You need to know how to clean the toilet. And these kids didn't necessarily have that. So when they're at our house, we talk about financing. We talk about needing to have a job. We have chores every day and every weekend. to make sure that they're prepared to be responsible young adults.
I'm just curious. So, Brett, how do you deal with the kids who's like, it's your turn to do the dishes tonight? And he says, nope, I'm not doing it. So what do you, how do you handle that? Or is it a case by case basis?
It is a case by case. That's the tricky part of operating in a trauma-informed environment, right? Because everyone has different triggers. Everyone has different things that are going to set them off. I'll say that I don't know any person ages 12 to 17 that wants to wash the dishes. I can't even get my own kids at my own house to wash the dishes some days. So a lot of times it's not even about having trauma. It's about being a regular teenager. And that's one of our biggest missions is folks have this mindset that anyone that lives in a group home is a quote unquote bad person, right? These kids have two things in common. They didn't ask to be there and they don't want to be there, right? So having that said, and then being bounced around like no one cares. And then you add where we're at in the world right now, where these children are literally wards of the state. Well, the state is the government, and though a different branch of government, the government right now is trying to erase half the kids that live in our house by saying transgender people don't exist. So these kids know that the people that are controlling and make decisions about their lives are our government, and the government is erasing them from existence.
Brad,
put that in your head as adults and try to process that, because I don't even know how to explain it to them.
Well, that actually, so I run an event on Wednesdays and we have a trans woman who comes in for it. And I just kind of said, Willina, how you doing? And she said, I'd be great if my government wasn't trying to work against me actively. And like, I'm thinking about that. And she is an adult processing America right now. What are the young trans kids process? How are they processing this situation right now? With everything going on in their immediate world, but then also in the U.S. scale?
Well, I don't know if y'all know anything about Gen Z, Gen Y, and Gen Alpha.
We've had worse.
Brad, are you telling me that young children are upset about things?
They're upset. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. I mean, and they're the same words that I would use to explain my own feelings right now. You know, yesterday, mm-hmm. a national historic landmark, the Stonewall Inn, mm-hmm. which is operated now under the National Park System, went through their entire website and took the T out of LGBT of the Stonewall Inn, of which transgender people were some of the first people to throw a brick through that window and start the riots that give us the rights we have today.
Yeah.
It's astonishing to me that they assume that by removing a word from popular lexicon is going to make it disappear. That's like taking the word climate out of our scientific documents. If we just don't, if we don't say it, then therefore it does not exist. That's Looney Tunes.
I agree with you. Just as loony as, oh, you're okay with renaming a body of water, but you can't use someone's pronouns or preferred name. Because it's been the Gulf of Mexico since the 1500s.
Yeah, yeah. I made a comment to Jane today saying these are the same people who say, don't take down the monuments and the flags. It's about our history. Well, it's your selective history.
We're very selective now.
I love you guys.
If you're just joining us, Brett Schlichowski is our guest. He's one of the co-founders of Courage Milwaukee, Courage MKE, and they provide a safe place and housing for kids who have either aged out or are going to be aging out of the foster care system, mm-hmm. and directed towards the LGBTQ plus community. I can't imagine what it's like, Brad, trying to reassure these kids, because as you said, this is you're an adult and you're worried about mm-hmm. the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of implementing the same mindset that I have at my own home. Right now, I come to work and I talk about this nonstop for the last 3 weeks, right? But when I get home, I see my husband. We didn't see each other all day, and we give each other 1 hour. 1 hour to just vent and, mm-hmm. and rehash this, what's happening through the day. And then after that hour, we're focusing on our kids. We're focusing on dinner. We're focusing on life. Because if we don't purposely make time to remember the good, it's just going to consume us, and 4 years is a really long time.
And honestly, that kind of, you know, that can also have an effect that takes a toll on your children too. They see that, they see it wearing you down. They see the, how, what affects your attitude and your well-being. And they might think, well, that's how our dads process information. That's how I got to process, you know, it. That's a very smart way, Brad, of looking at it, is like giving yourself that moment, because that's your self-care. And then that, yes, that leads out to family care. And I think that's something we talk to people about on this show all the time, is that we know it's tough. We know everyone's going through hard things. Take those moments you need to take. Do that. Exactly. And then get back up and keep going with what you're doing, because you can't stop.
And you know, doing that also rubs off the right way too, because my son is six. Their Valentine's Day party is today. He was at school yesterday and another child said, that's gay to give another boy a Valentine. And my son said, no, it's not. It costs nothing to make somebody happy.
Oh, and he's six?
Six. So, yep, I'm going to raise my little activist and keep raising him to love people. Darn right. Because that's what we need every day. Because
he, I mean, that's the thing, though. He responded back with love. Yeah. You know, a lot of little boys don't respond with love. They respond with other things, or they don't respond at all. But that was, love it.
I'm curious too, Brad, and unfortunately, I'm already anticipating that your response is not going to be what I'm hoping for. Do families ever have a change of heart?
They do. We actually launched new programming at Courage last year that's community facing. It's called Plus You. And part of that are groups. It's not a regular support group like blah, blah, like we all think about. Mm-hmm. We're creating safe spaces for anyone that has LGBT kids in their life, parents, aunts, uncles, coaches, teachers, etc., to come and ask the questions that are in their head without judgment, right? Because I feel like if we create spaces for these people to tell us what they've heard or what someone has told them that has created some sort of mindset, we can change their mind. You know, we have seen kids from the Courage House go back home because we were able to work with them and their parents so that everyone understood who they are. I understand, you know, I have that conversation with the kids, like, you came out to your mom, your dad is trans. That's an adjustment for them. And yes, their reaction in the perfect world would be like, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Right.
But we have to teach them too.
Well, and I think it's so important, Brad, that you said that you're creating a safe space where they can ask questions, because I think some of the backlash against the wokeness, and I put that in quotation marks, was I can't ask a question because if I ask a question, it might be offensive because I don't understand. Right. So therefore, I can't ask anything. And that doesn't help.
Right. It doesn't help. And we're in a time right now where we just need to, we need to be those people to help. Because like I said, 4 years is a long time.
It's, yeah, it's already been
3 weeks.
Yeah. Wait, you're telling me it hasn't been 4 years already? I feel like I'm 80.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with Brad Schlakowsky from Courage Milwaukee. If you have a question, text it in at 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Once you and your spouse retire, you'll have some decisions to make, decisions that could affect your quality of life in your retirement years. For starters, how much should you withdraw each year from your 401k and other retirement accounts? You'll want to avoid taking too much too soon. Next, when should you take Social Security? If you wait until your full retirement age, probably 67, you'll typically get bigger payments than if you started taking benefits at age 62. Also, one spouse's decision may affect the other in terms of spousal benefits. Finally, if you haven't already done so, you'll need to work with your legal professional to decide which estate planning documents are needed, such as a will, a living trust, and various powers of attorney. You and your spouse will want to discuss all your choices and then decide which steps to take. After you've got your plans in place, you may well find that you can fully enjoy your retirement years.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. One trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to be talking about schools. Department of Education, Linda McMahon had her confirmation hearing yesterday. Some interesting questions brought up.
She's going to body slam all the problems that come to her office.
That's right, she is. And remember Vivek Ramaswamy? Vivek's back. He was co-leader of DOGE for, what, a week and a half. That didn't last very long. Now he's chiming in on what schools need to do to help our kids. And it sounds shockingly like a suggestion that came from an earlier administration that was excoriated by Republicans. Shocking, I know. We'll kick that around next hour.
That's a great word, excoriated.
Excoriating? Oh, do I get a point for that?
Like
a star?
You get like four points for that.
Oh, yay. Our guest is Brad Schlykowski. He is the co-founder of Courage Milwaukee, located in Milwaukee. Great website, by the way, if you would like to find out more. It's couragemke.org. We will include that in our show notes. Brad, I wanted to ask you about your funding and whether or not under this second Trump administration now you are concerned about any funding sources getting cut off.
So that's a good question. I don't know. Right now, we're very grateful that we're not reliant on any federal funding. We have an incredible, our mission at Courage is to create a movement, right? Even though we offer housing, it's not about housing, but it's to create a movement. And all of our donors, we call them all Courage family. And we have this huge Courage family that are supporting us. So as of right now, we've been trying to, over the last few years, get federal money. But right now, there's kind of a deep sigh, a big, deep breath that we're not. Yeah. Dependent on it, but we are seeing that we are seeing smaller grant providers sending out emails saying we're putting a pause or a moratorium on funding because we don't know what direction we're going right now. Yeah. So I am expecting to see some drop in funding this year, just not as bad as some of our peers out in the nonprofit world.
Well, and certainly, again, because already you're not dependent on federal money, which I'm sure is challenging in and of itself. But at this point, I'd probably say you're in a slightly better position than many other organizations who are dependent on those federal dollars.
Yeah,
I'd say you're right. Yep.
For the people the people who do support Courage MKE, I'm assuming not all of them are members of the LGBTQ plus community. There must be straight people who support you.
There is a lot of straight people that support us. You know, that's what the movement's about. You know, when we started, Nick and I were going to every gay bar that we could think of that would let us talk about it to educate our own community first. But we knew in order to survive, we needed to expand beyond that. And there are some amazing humans, you know, this last year and really this year, we're focusing on getting out of Milwaukee. And that's why we're changing our name to Courage Plus in a couple of months here to make sure that we're covering and providing services to LGBT youth across the state and maybe into Minnesota and Illinois a little bit. But that's going back to that education piece, right? We want the non-LGBT community to be joining us in this fight. The LGBT community is screaming right now against this administration, and it's clear they're not listening. It's our allies that are the ones that are going to help us take this movement and make sure that we stay safe over the next 4 years. So the more allies we can find, the better.
You speak of education on that one, Brad. Moving out of Milwaukee, where it's, I don't want to say easy, but it's easier on the education front. People have maybe...
Absolutely.
More open minds, more people in their lives who are in part of the queer community. If you're looking at like Western, Northern, Southern Wisconsin, who are you reaching out to, and this is, I'm sure, whether they're in the community or an ally, who do you reach out to help with that initial education of those Sure. individuals in the community to say, this is what we're doing, this is why we need your help, or at the very least, need your support?
Sure. Well, we created a line item in our budget this year to have satellite Courage employees across each quadrant of the state. So we're working with LGBT community centers across the state so that we can take our Plus U programming, which is that community group setting and education piece to each quadrant of the state so that we can hold these groups and have local people understand the local people.
So important.
Conversations yep. with them.
Yeah, that's so important, Brad.
That's the part that the funding, any funding that, like, that's the part we need help to fund, right? Because we added it to our budget, was never part of our budget, but we know it's so crucial across the state to get this education out there.
Well, and much like we've talked with different Democratic organizers, it's so important to have someone from within that community yes. to be the one who is bringing the message, because otherwise you're seen as an outsider and you don't understand how things work here. And so I think that's really, really wise. We're just about out of time, Brad. We will put a link to couragemke.org in our show notes. If anyone wants to make a donation and help support your mission, they can do that via your website, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you take a look at our socials, we launched our Embrace LGBTQ Youth yard signs yesterday. So nice. Go ahead and get one of those and we can get those out across the state.
Fabulous. Nice. Brad Schlichowski, one of the co-founders of Courage Milwaukee. Thank you so much, Brad. Take care. We will have you back on soon.
Thank you. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Brad.
News coming up next. Stay with us. We're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vice President J.D. Vance is in Munich, Germany, where along with Secretary of State Marco Rubio is about to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky. CBS's Anna Norskevskich.
This meeting is highly anticipated. While European leaders are concerned that they might be sidelined while the U.S. is leading the negotiations.
Zelensky says he'll only meet Russian President Putin to discuss an end to the war once a common plan is in place with President Trump and Europe. In the fire-burned hills of Southern California, a new problem, excessive rain and mudslides. This man lives in Malibu.
We have fires all the time. We have mudslides, but nothing as apocalyptic as this.
Cold temps or not, Philadelphia Eagles fans are lined up for the team's victory parade after winning the Super Bowl.
I knew it was going to be cold. I'm layered up. Like, I got a bunch of layers on. I had to be here. Nothing was going to stop me.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
On the next.